Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Gonna tell it like it really is. We know Haney doesn't give a shit. Silencing critics, eliminate misses. Two chips never accept on shoulders to get better. Everybody knows a name, read about it. We're golf teachers, Hall of Fame. Never doubt it, it's time for the truth. Here's our dude, you're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. It's time for the truth, here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. Yeah. Listening to Haney.
Haney. All right, welcome everybody to the Hank Haney Podcast. Hank Haney and Minnesota Tim Perochka. Minnesota Tim, PGA Tour season, 2021 version. Starting off, and we've got some big storylines that you put together. And we're going to discuss them today. What was your thinking here?
Yeah, so I wanted to dive into the biggest storylines entering the PGA Tour season in 2021 because there are a lot of storylines to talk about. It's a Ryder Cup year. There's a lot of players that are looking for a major championship that haven't won one for a while. There's a lot of big-name players close to falling off the face of the earth on the PGA Tour. And then there's Tiger Woods, who just turned 45 years old, and he doesn't have much time left on the PGA Tour. So there's lots of storylines entering 2021 and a lot of big storylines. So I just thought it'd be interesting for you to rank the storylines.
Let's start with your Tiger Woods comment. You don't think he has much time left on the PGA? I mean, like, how much time? What do you mean by that?
How much time left? Well, he's 45.
Yeah, how much time do you think he has left? He's 45. How long do you think he's going to be competitive? What's your guess?
Man, probably two more years, I would say.
Yeah. At that point, after that, you're a 48-year-old professional athlete. And you can still win because you're Tiger Woods. You're just opportunistic, which, by the way, I think that's where he is right now. I mean, he wasn't really competitive last year on the PGA Tour. I mean, if you really want to look at it. I mean, what did he do last year? He didn't do anything. I mean, he had one top 10 finish. Yeah, I know it was a weird year and everything, but he finished top 10 at Torrey Pines, didn't he? For his first tournament out, and then didn't do anything the rest of the year. It was not a good year. I almost think he's kind of there right now. I don't think he's going to play a lot. Like I've said this the other day, you know, when he takes tournaments off the schedule, they don't get put back on the schedule. And I would think that what you're going to see out of him is you're going to see 10 to 12 events. I mean, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, he'll play at the Torrey Pines because they're hosting the U.S. Open there. So he always plays there, and he always, you know, has done good there. So he'll play at Torrey Pines, the Farmers Insurance. He'll play at the Genesis, his tournament, and then he'll just, you know, at Riviera. And, it, you know, it'll just be a, you know, play at the Players. He'll play the Majors, and then, you know, play Nicklaus's tournament. And, you know, when you get that, the majors, you know, and then, you know, those three tournaments I just said, you're at seven right there. And, you know, throw in, you know, three, four more. And just, you know, there'll be a tournament before majors to kind of get ready. Maybe he'll play Wells Fargo, you know, before the U.S. Open or, you know, that's just kind of what it's going to be. So there's not going to be a lot of opportunities. But, I mean, that doesn't mean that I think, you know, he'll win a tournament this year. I mean, I would say that. And now what tournament's going to be? Could be, who knows? Could be anything. It could be a major. Could be a regular tour event. There's not going to be a lot of chances. And, you know, when he plays, he's usually going to play a big tournament, big field, so they're not easy to win. You know, when he, you know, won at the Tour Championship, short field, 30 players, only beat 29 players. When he won at Zozo, short field, you know, a bunch of Japanese pros out there, like a mini tour player, really. Yeah, it, and you know, there weren't guys that were PGA Tour card holders, and you know, it was a no cut deal, short field there. But when he shows up with 10 or 12 tournaments, he's playing always with the best fields now. And when you only play that many tournaments, even if you're Tiger Woods back in the day, it's still harder to win because you're only playing in the big events. But I just think that's where Tiger is. I think he's going to be opportunistic. If he gets it going and has a week that he's playing good, you know, he can finish it off because of his great experience. Here's something to be concerned about, though. Well, there's a few things to be concerned about. Last year, his strokes gained statistic, he was 47th tee to green. That's not good. I mean, he's never been, you know, well, when he hasn't been hurt, he's never been in that area. But this is really the problem right here that concerns me. 183rd in putting, 186th in three-putt avoidance, and 145th around the green. That's last year, 2020. I know it's not a lot of tournaments, but it's enough to make a statistic. Now you look at 2021, the wraparound. Is it just the tournaments that, you know, happened after the season was officially over? So that would, you know, be the U.S. Open and then, you know, a couple other ones. All right, a couple playoffs. Okay, so here you are, 256th. Strokes gained tee to green, awful. 190th around the green, 187th in putting, and 186th in putting. So when you look at this and you say, okay, 2020 and 2021, you look at both those years, he's 187th in putting and 183rd in putting. Three-putt avoidance, 186th and 186th. I mean, that's pretty consistent. I mean, that's totally consistent, and it's consistently bad. And then I look, and I know it's just a, you know, have fun, you know, get your son out there. The PNC, he putted awful, given the fact that he got to look at every putt and look at the line and the speed, because Charlie putted before him, and he putted terrible. I he needs to putt better. I mean, he'll hit it good enough at some week, although his ball striking has not been great, but he'll hit it good enough, but he's got to putt and chip it better. And that hasn't been good. I mean, there was more than a few times in that father-son tournament where they used Charlie's pitch or whatever, where he pitched it inside a Tiger. I mean, he's got some holes in his game. I don't know what the dedication's like. You know, will he be competitive this year? He wasn't competitive last year, to be honest with you. But I'd never put it by. I think at certain weeks he'll be competitive. And that it'll, you know, you'll pretty much know he's got a chance or doesn't. If he has a chance, he's got the experience. He'll always do something. So that's where Tiger is. I think he's already kind of there, Tim. I mean, at 45, he's already kind of there. That's where he is right now. And you know, competitive once in a while.
Okay. Would you consider him the top storyline entering 2021, or would you consider some other storyline like Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler, Koepka's health, the Ryder Cup, Dustin Johnson, a huge 2020, I believe, fair after that year? How would you rank the storylines on the PGA Tour?
Boy, that's a good point. I saw an article the other day about, you know, how, okay, Tiger's not the, you know, so like one of the only years Tiger's not the top storyline. I don't know about that. Tiger's always the top storyline. I mean, he's the one that, you know, he's the needle. He's the one that moves everything. I mean, it all reacts off of him. Well, I think as long as he plays, he's the storyline, but he doesn't play that much. Is he the storyline for the year? I think the expectations have lowered with Tiger. You can tell by the odds of, you know, the Vegas odds on tournaments. They just, you know, when he plays, I mean, they're not giving his game the respect. And that pretty much tells us. So if you're looking for like who's going to win and who's going to be the dominant players, and, you know, then it's not Tiger. But having said that, every time he steps out there, you know, if he's playing, then he's the story. You know, that's just the win, you know, and it changes the ratings for sure, because that's who people want to watch, and you know, it'll be that way as long as he plays. You know, that will never change. But I don't think, you know, golf wise, yeah, I don't know. I mean, can you say Dustin Johnson's the big story? I mean, what do you think the big story? You know, Ryder Cup's the big story. I mean, it might be the Ryder Cup is going to be the big story this year.
Yeah, I could see the Ryder Cup being a huge story because Tiger Woods is also associated with that Ryder Cup story. With Steve Stricker being a captain and with Tiger playing the way he's been playing, Tiger, I don't know if he's a guaranteed captain's pick for that Ryder Cup.
Nah, he's a guaranteed captain.
I don't know.
No, Steve Stricker. He loves Tiger. There's no chance in the world he doesn't pick Tiger.
I don't think he's going to pick him.
No, he's going to pick him 100%.
Tiger's going to tell him not to pick him.
Nah, that won't happen. He'll pick him. Tiger will do something. Tiger won't get zipped. He'll play good in some tournament, and Stricker will pick him because he's Tiger Woods. And even if Tiger doesn't play good and doesn't play good enough to pick him, he'll pick him anyways because it'll be, you know, the last time he gets picked. Like let's say Tiger's game really falls off and he plays like he did last year or even worse. He'll pick him for sure because it'll be like, this is the last, you know, because everybody's like, what have you done for me lately? And if he starts, you know, not playing good or plays like he did last year, then people are like, you know what? He's never going to make another Ryder Cup team. That's what, because it's 2 years down the road. I mean, he's 45. The next one's going to be 47. The next one's going to be 49. And I mean, if you don't have it at 45, you're probably not going to find it at 47. If you don't have it at 47, you're not going to find it at 49 years old. So what's going to happen is he's going to pick him on a, you know, because all these guys get, you know, when you're great like these guys, like a Mickelson, like a Tiger Woods, you know, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, whatever, okay? When you're these guys, you get one pick when you don't deserve it. That's just what you get. You don't get two. You know, you don't get three. But Tiger Woods has earned one pick when he doesn't deserve it just because he's Tiger Woods. Now, they're not going to pick him in 2021 and, you know, after he's played terrible and then have him play terrible for, you know, now a total of 4 years in a row and they're going to pick him again. It's not going to happen. But he's not that far removed from the Masters win. And he's going to get picked. I mean, it's just, and Steve Stricker just could not pick Tiger Woods. I mean, there's just no way. I mean, there's a lot of guys. I don't care how he plays. He's going to pick him. Yeah. You can write that one down in stone right there.
Okay.
That's a for sure. I mean, because he loves some Tiger Woods and he's going to pick Tiger Woods. And even if it's a charity pick, you know, he's earned one of those. He'll either play good enough to get it, or he'll play good enough to get his one charity pick, and that'll be that'll be this year for sure. All right, let's take another break. Remind you to get your Voodoo pain relief cream, aches and pains, muscle soreness, whatever it is, arthritis, tension, headaches. It works great on. Rub it on your forehead, your jaw, your neck. If you got a TMJ problems, people with TMJ love it. Any kind of knee arthritis problem, wrist, elbow, shoulder, back, whatever it is. If you've probably tried pain relief creams in the past and they haven't worked very good, this one does. And that's why I feel so strongly about it. I want everybody to try it. You get a free 2-week supply by just going to voodoopainrelief.com. It's right there on the front page. You can sign up right there. All right, we'll be right back on the Hank Haney Podcast. All right, Tim, what's next on your storyline list? You want my reaction, though?
Yeah, so last year, Bryson DeChambeau was a huge storyline just with the way he transformed his body and the way he showed up to the U.S. Open and played, and then also the way he showed up to the Masters and hit the ball all over the place. Bryson DeChambeau.
He did. Oh, come on.
What?
I don't think he hit the ball all over the place at the Masters.
He hit the ball all over the place, and you know it.
Where? Give me an example.
He hit one into the woods. He hit one into the water. He had to take provisionals. Yeah, I mean, come on. He was five over through. No, he wasn't five over. He was three over through the first four or five holes.
Yeah. It's just, but there was a lot. I don't think you could blame it on the fact that he just hit the ball all over the place. There was a lot of stuff that went wrong. I think that this kid is good. And what I like about him is he keeps improving. And you look at his statistics, you just see improvement. You know, you see somebody that went from 24th strokes gained off the tee to first. You see somebody that went from 37th strokes gained tee to green to 19th. You see somebody who has made himself into a very, very good putter. And you see somebody who, you know, three putted a lot, 156th in three putt avoidance in 2018. 2019, 136th, 2020, 38th. You know, I see somebody that just keeps improving. I think his formula for driving the ball forever, attacking the golf courses, trying to hit it as far as he can, that formula is going to work a certain amount of times a year. I mean, I don't think necessarily it's going to be like totally consistent. Like, you know, he wasn't at Augusta. I get it. But I think he's not going to, you know, pitch a no-hitter. He's not going to go out there and like, oh, man, he's lost his game. Because when you hit it that far, the game just gets so much easier. And some weeks are going to be on, and he putts good enough to do it. And I like how he looks at something, looks at the statistics, whatever, and he improves. He needs to improve his wedge play. He knows it. 50 to 125 yards. When you hit it as far as he does, you got to improve in that area. That's the big thing to look for this year. I mean, you look at the storyline. The way that he can destroy golf courses is he has to be better from 50 to 125 yards. Period. That's it. That's what he needs to do. Because that if you're going to bomb it off the tee, and you're no good from 50 to 125 yards, you know, last year 50 to 125 yards, he was 103rd. If he could get that down to, you know, 50th or 30th or whatever, I mean, it would be just like, you know, even better than that. I mean, look out. It'll be Katie bar the door. He'll be killing them. But I also think, you know, some of the advantage he had with hitting it so far is going to be mitigated a little bit, because I think other guys are going to be doing it. You know, I think guys have been – it'll be interesting to see if there's anybody else comes out this year. I think this is a big storyline. Will anybody else come out this year and try to play a little bit more like DeChambeau has been playing? You know, try to crank up their speed a little bit. Because I've seen on Twitter where, you know, DJ was doing it and Finau was doing it and Rory was doing it. They all have more in there if they want it. And will they use it? Will they actually try it? I think that's one of the big storylines is will you see somebody try to do more? Now, I'm not talking about gaining the weight and eating and drinking the protein shakes. I'm just talking about, you know, cranking it up a little bit. One of the things that people don't realize is you don't just get out there and try to swing faster. You know, that's not there's a little more to it than that. You have to be able to do this for 4.5 hours. And then you may have golf tournaments where you had a rain delay, where you had a 2 rounds in one day. You might have to do this for 8 hours or, you know, 6 hours or whatever. And if you've ever tried to swing as fast as you can, like on a computer, on a swing speed machine, on a, you know, launch monitor, whatever, and what you'll realize is that you swing your fastest at in the first 20 swings you make. The thing that's amazing, besides how fast DeChambeau can swing, is that he can do it for a long period of time. And that takes training. So if you've seen the videos online, I'm sure, Tim, and you've seen them where he's just hitting them over and over and over again. I mean, he trains for it. He's because it's not, you know, he's not just trying to hit one ball as far as he can. He's trying to play like that all day long, and that takes a lot of training. But other guys are capable of it, and I think other guys will do it. So I think that's a big storyline this year for sure.
You're listening to the Hank Haney Podcast. Let's take a brief pause to hear from our sponsors.
What's another one you got?
Well, the storyline of Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler.
Oh,
I know Spieth's in the 70s of the world golf rankings, if not in the 80s yet. I honestly need to look it up. I'm losing track of where Jordan Spieth is.
82nd.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Jordan Spieth is 82nd.
He's horrible.
Ricky Fowler's in the 50s.
53rd.
Both of these guys have just completely lost their games. And of course, trying to see if they can progress some way in a positive direction is another big storyline.
Well, okay, let me start with Spieth. His game is, you know, this has been, well, okay, it's been how long since he won?
It's been since 2017, the Open Championship.
Okay, that's a long time. Time flies. The odds are now, because it's been this long, that, I mean, it's just, it is what it is. I mean, you know, it gets harder and harder to make a comeback. You know, I mean, it's not like he's played bad for a year. He's played bad for 3 years. The advantage that he has, I talk about it all the time, is that the guy is an incredibly hard trier. And that's a huge advantage. I mean, he will not give in. He will not give up. He will grind it out. He will give you his best, and that's what he has going for him. What he doesn't have going for him is his ball striking is not been good, and that's an understatement. Now, he did improve tee to green last year, 2019, he was 157th. Last year's 90th. Okay, we'll give him that. Off the tee, he was 176th in 2019, 165th in 2020. You know, so that's a short season last year. His putting was not good, 105th. He went from second in putting in 2019, which he seemingly got his putting game back. I mean, here he is, okay? You know, he goes from second in putting. He was in, what was it, 2017, he was like seventh. And then 2018, he's 123rd. Then he was second in putting in 2019, then 105th last year. So it's like every other year he's 105th. Now, okay, now 2021 short, you know, sampling with the wraparound season, but 126th in putting. 198th tee to green, just awful. I mean, I can't cheer for him any harder. I really am a Jordan Spieth fan. I hope he gets it going. That the rumors are he's been to Butch Harmon. You know, will that change anything? I mean, I don't know what he's going to get from Butch. Butch is, you know, a guy who helps you play the best with what you've got. I don't think he's I don't know what his record is on reclamation projects, because this is not, you know, like in other words, I guess what I'm saying is, I mean, I think Butch is the you know, greatest coach that we've ever had on the PGA Tour. If Jordan Spieth would have been to Butch Harmon before, he would have left his swing alone. He wouldn't have messed with it. He wouldn't have changed this and changed that and done all these things that have gotten him in a bad way. You know, I tell people that, you know, if you get lost, this is what I tell students. I said, if you get lost, just retrace your steps. I used to tell Tiger that all the time. All you have to do, you get lost, you start, you know, swinging bad, you start playing bad. All you have to do is retrace your steps. What a lot of people do is they remember when they were playing good, and when they were playing good, they were thinking about this. Well, that's the last swing thought they had that put the icing on top of the cake. But they might have worked on four things before they got to that last thing. And then those things put them in position to ice the cake, so to speak. The problem is when you're struggling, you're in the woods, okay, and you're lost. And if you're in the woods and you're lost, you know, all you got to do to find your way out, a lot of people don't do it because they want to find the shortcut. But if you're lost in the woods, all you have to do is retrace your steps and you'll find your way out of the woods. The problem is if you're out there in the woods and you're lost and you decide, you know what, I think there's a shortcut over here. No, that didn't work. Okay, there's a shortcut over here. Well, that didn't work. I'm still lost. Well, maybe if I go this way. And then you go over there and you think, oh, that didn't work either. I'm still lost. Now the problem is there's so many footprints in the woods that you don't know what your original footprints look like or where they are. And you can't find them. So you can't retrace your steps. And this is the problem. This is why, you know, it's like, you can't just say, well, go back to your old swing. Like people say, well, he should just go back to his old swing. He just don't. He can't find his old swing. He can't find his way back to where he was, even if he wanted to go back to his old swing. So I don't know. I mean, I just, all I can do is hope. But the one thing that hasn't ever, you know, changed with Spieth is his work ethic and his, you know, ability and determination to just grind it out. So because of that, you always have to give him a chance. Now, Ricky Fowler, he's a different story. He's another one. I mean, he's tried to change his swing. He's got a unique swing, always has, fast, quick, kind of laid off. I liked his swing. I wouldn't have messed with it. When he was with Butch Harmon, you're at the perfect place because Butch teaches you to play with your swing. He doesn't give you some, you know, everybody's tries to do the same thing deal. He gives you just, advice on how to play better with your swing. And it was a, you know, perfect place to be. Okay, then he decides, okay, you know what, I want to try to get better, which is, you know, everybody wants to try to get better. I'm not criticizing him for that. But, I mean, I think if you look at it, you know, people look at themselves and they say, okay, you know, I don't know if they look at themselves out there and say, you know, am I an overachiever or am I an underachiever? Because if you're an underachiever, you think, well, there's got to be something better out there and there's got to be some better way for me to do this. And you know, I need to try to improve because I'm underachieving. But maybe guys that think they're underachievers aren't really underachievers. Like I've seen this in my career. I've had students that come to me and they'll say, like, you know, I want to be this, or this is my goal, or what I'm thinking. I mean, you don't have enough talent to be that. Like, I mean, I had an LPGA tour player one time say, I want to be as good as Annika Sorenstam. I mean, you're not going to be as good as Annika Sorenstam. She's just got so much more talent than you do. I mean, I didn't tell her that, but that's just the way it is. And when she, you know, had that, you know, conversation with me, I know my days are numbered because if that's what she thinks she could achieve, I mean, I can't get her there. I mean, there's just no way. And, you know, then you start messing around with things. And next thing you know, you're not even as good as you used to be. I think that's a little bit of Ricky Fowler, honestly. I don't know if he was as much of a, like, underachiever as people. I think he's had a really, you know, a good PGA Tour career. Maybe he was just never as good as everybody thought he was or thought he should be. And he didn't have the statistics to back it up. You know, when everybody talked about how good, Ricky Fowler was, and Ricky Fowler this, and Ricky Fowler that. I mean, you know, he's been good. I'm not saying okay. Let's just go through the statistics. Strokes gained tee to green, 2015, 26th. 2016, okay, he's eighth. That's a good year. 13th in 2017, 2018, 21st, 2019, 47th. I mean, you're kind of, you know, right there. I mean, I look at those statistics and then you look at the putting. And, you know, he was 36th in 2015. Okay. 2016, 64th. 2017, he was first. Okay. Those are good. You know, those are good. But, you know, those aren't statistics that, you know, when you look at that strokes gained tee to green and, you know, pick out anything else off the tee. Okay. Let's go off the tee. 2015, 55th, or 2015, 76th, 2016, 55th. You know, that's nothing, you know, 38th in 2017. I mean, it's good. It's not Bryson DeChambeau, 2019 off the tee, 55th. I mean, it's just, that's what it is. 70th approach shot to the green, 2019. I mean, this is nothing, you know, 91st, 2020 approach shot to the green. There's nothing here to write home about. 49th strokes gained tee to green, 2020. If you look at his statistics, I go by statistics. I look at Ricky Fowler's statistics and it says, there's a guy that could win a major one day. You know, I don't look at him and I don't look at him like I look at John Rahm. Okay. John Rahm will win a major one day. Okay. I don't look at Ricky Fowler like Xander Schauffele. Xander Schauffele should win a major someday. I mean, that's just the way it is. I look at Ricky Fowler's statistics and I say he could win a major someday. But if he doesn't, you know, I don't think he's underachieved, to be honest with you. I don't. So now he's changed his swing and his swing looks better. Okay, I'll give you that. His swing looks better. But that's looks. It's not performing. Okay. And what happened is you look at his statistics, and since he's been on this change his swing routine, his statistics, if I was his coach, I'd be, you know, crapping in my britches, to be honest with you, because I would be thinking, you know what, statistically, what I'm doing is it's not working. It's not working. I mean, it's my student statistics are awful. And it's, you know, we're not talking about putting. We're not talking about competing. We're not talking about winning or how much money you made or how many commercials you did. I'm talking about statistics that back up what you're doing and what you're working on with this person. And you're telling them this, but whatever you're telling them to do, approach shot to the green, small sampling, 2021, you're 212th. Last year, 2020, you're 91st. That's not good. That's not good. Off the tee, 67. We're saying the same. You know, I mean, the statistics aren't there. And like, I always looked at the statistics. I thought, boy, if I'm not improving, guy's not hitting more greens, guy's not hitting more fairways, guy's not hitting it longer, guy's not chipping it closer, guy's not holding more putts. If he's not doing those things, my days are numbered. What do I tell the guy? Just say, it's going to start working next week. Keep doing it. You know, that's a sales pitch that they all do. That's a teacher sales pitch is what it is. And you got to do it because what you believe in what you do. You're a teacher, you're a coach. You believe in what you're coaching. So what you're hoping for is that student just hangs in there and gives it some more time, and then everything works because you have confidence in what you're telling them, and you're telling them to the best of your ability, and you have confidence in what you're telling them. You hope it's going to work. I just need more time, and this whole thing's going to turn around. But sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes it doesn't. And, if you look at this so far, this hasn't worked good for Ricky Fowler. Yeah. So that's just the facts. I mean, I will say that his swing looks better, but better looking swings don't necessarily hit better shots because, you know, it's not the way that he's always swung. So, those two guys, Spieth and Fowler, they've been headed in the wrong direction. Spieth for a longer period of time than Fowler, but I think Fowler needs to turn it around. But he's let's be real here. Ricky Fowler's not going to be maybe for a hot moment, I don't know. But Ricky Fowler's not going to be a top 10 player in the world. That's already evident that that's not going to happen. That's not where he is. And when you look at Spieth, if you were betting, man, you'd have to be, think you're crazy. You'd have to be crazy if you thought he's going to make it to the top 10 again. Now he could. I hope he does. But you'd have to be crazy if that. All right. So, Tim, we'll save some more of these storylines. We got a few more for another day, but it's good stuff. I appreciate it. Thanks, yeah. Man. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Good storyline talk.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. Really good stuff. So excited to get the golf going again. It feels like we've, with the Masters being in the fall and the U.S. Open and everything, it feels like we, it's like, there wasn't much of a break. And, I read something the other day. It's, I think, 100 days before the Masters or something like that. It's not, it'll be here before you know it. So it'll be great stuff. All right. Follow me on Twitter at Hank Haney. Follow Tim at Tim Porochka. Email your questions to HankHaneyGolf@outlook.com. You can find my new book, How to Play Better Golf Today, Lessons of a Lifetime, at HaneyUniversity.com. So go there and check that out and hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts so that you can find our podcast easily every single day. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope everybody has a great day. Stay safe and stay healthy. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.